B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we're going to give a very quick preview about the Midseason Invitational, which goes down tomorrow. Also, the PS5. We got some news of how many first-party games they have in development. Also, Castlevania drops today. How excited are you? I know everybody in this room is hype. And lastly, Target and as well as Walmart have made some big decisions on trading cards. If you're looking to pick up any card games, well, you're going to be out of luck with that one. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game with your hosts, Norris, Callie, and Chad.
Hey, everybody, what's up? It is a wonderful Thursday. Perfect
day. We usually
do
our last episode of the week on Friday, so it feels like Friday, but it's only Thursday.
Listen, I'm very excited because Fan Fest is tomorrow. We have a special episode of the Checkpoint Daily show going out tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. It's coming out early because we know a bunch of people are going to be up late watching the Final Fantasy stuff, as well as binging Castlevania, as well as playing a lot of Mass Effect.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, you're all going to be napping by 4 o'clock, getting ready for the late night ahead with Fan Fest. So, yeah, we got an early episode coming out tomorrow. Listen to it on your lunch break or on the way home from work, wherever you happen to be. And, yeah, we hope you enjoyed. F.S. Asher joins us.
That's right.
To talk a little bit of lore about the story so far and what we can expect.
Very
excited.
I just
smiled and nodded.
You did. You did.
Well, you at least got to hear the buttery smooth voice.
I did get to hear the voice. It's a very nice voice.
He has a very nice voice.
That's what I was trying to explain to you, Chad. He's a charming guy.
If anything, I was just soothed the whole time.
See? Yeah. I almost fell asleep. Not because it was boring, but because I was so relaxed.
Yeah, I know. He's got a very relaxing voice. I don't like... It would be like if you had him as a professor.
Oh God, no! I couldn't do it.
No,
I couldn't do it.
I wonder if that's a problem that students have. Is their professors have such a nice voice?
I had a professor like that. I had a professor. His name was George Natiri, and he was from Nigeria. But he had this great voice. But he was also funny. So he would almost lull you, my sociology professor. He would almost lull you because he'd be talking about like Master Status and Emil Durkheim, and you'd be like, oh, this is so boring.
Yeah, you're starting
But you also would be like, but I'm so comfortable.
Yeah.
And then he'll come out with some crazy ass story, and he'd just be like, but. You know, and you look at me and you say, well, you know, George, you are crazy as hell. He would go into some crazy story about him being a kid and getting in fights or something.
You know, I had a Spanish teacher who, he was very well into his at least late 70s, early 80s. And it got to the point, and this was my early years of trying to understand Spanish. And it got to the point where sometimes he would mumble. And I was like, I don't know if you switched to Spanish at some point. And that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
I never had a teacher that had like a great like voice like that.
I've had three.
I had a teacher that was clearly in their last year.
Mm-hmm. So they just phoned it in every day?
They definitely phoned it in. And I remember at the end of the year, we were doing like yearbooks and all that stuff. And so I had my teacher sign it. And he signed the same crappy signs to every student, basically, in my book or whatever. But... A friend of mine who was an asshole, and I hate him.
wow,
to be blunt,
quite the friend.
He was a bit of a punk in that class, and I mean a lot of a punk. He was horrible. And that teacher signed in his book, "quote, chew glass and die."
Wow.
All right.
And I was like, wow, that is his last year here. You can tell.
Yeah. No, I had George Natiri, and then I had another modern Middle Eastern professor who just asked us to call her Layla.
Layla.
Yeah, that was nice. She name. Just called me Layla.
Okay.
She was very nice.
All right.
And Miss Drysdale, my second grade math teacher, who also, until I met my wife, might be the most beautiful woman I've ever seen with my own two eyes.
Every person has that story. Fourth grade, Miss Shanley.
Look, I don't have that teacher.
You don't have a hot teacher?
No.
Like, Miss Drysdale was legit, and she was from Toronto, so she had, like, this Canadian accent. It was weird.
Miss Shanley had
everything
an
about
Irish
her was great.
And,
I don't think of any.
You had a math teacher in second grade? You didn't just have one teacher?
No, so the way we had it is they were trying something new with my school, and so we would move classes. We didn't usually, but we would move classes for certain classes.
We did that too in fourth grade.
Yeah.
No, we did that with like social studies and science. We had teachers switch.
Yeah. And okay, maybe I had that for fourth grade.
Yep. Maybe it was to get us ready for like later on. I don't know.
So Ms. Drysdale was our math teacher, and that was the last time I was good at math ever.
You figured it'd be the opposite.
Makes sense.
No, it was. I was distracted.
I was gonna say.
I'm in second grade, and I'm just like, up until that point, girls might as well just be boys with long hair,
right?
And at that point, I see Miss Drysdale, and I'm like, I am a man.
I understand.
I understand.
I get the
now.
Movies.
I get it. But anyway.
Little 9-year-old Norris.
Second grade, I was 7.
I was about to say, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess,
no, excuse me. It was third grade. She was my third grade.
Third grade teacher.
Yeah, I was like 7 or 8. But okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, when people say, like, you don't choose your orientation.
No.
You don't.
No.
From that moment, listen, I was like, I am straight. I am straight.
Moment,
I am a straight
and then
man.
You know.
Yeah, there's a moment you know. So I was a straight man at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. You know, see, we don't see that's what straight people, we don't think about our sexual awakenings like that. And I think we should.
It's weird.
It will help us understand that process, I think, a lot more.
It's weird, too, because like every LGBTQ person kind of has their moments that they knew.
I do feel like there's a lot of people who, especially the bisexual community and maybe asexual, that's a lot
harder
because you're like, I don't
time.
Know what's going on with me, and that's hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's
right.
no
that's
sexual
true.
Awakening. It's just sexual confusion.
In the
Okay, true,
in
true.
In the trans community, we have what's termed the egg. If you are a trans person but you don't know you're a trans person yet, you are an egg. And when your egg cracks...
Oh, I didn't know that term.
It's because people... Because
you're in a shell.
You have the shell, and then your egg cracks, and suddenly you're like, oh my God, it all makes
sense.
And
now the contents of what you actually want to...
back together.
Yeah, but the contents of what actually matters, the substance, is no longer confined by the shell being the...
Yeah.
That's a great metaphor.
That's a term. Any trans person who doesn't know they're trans is an egg.
Do you see? Not just video games. We teach you about yourself.
That's right.
And with that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games.
All right, so the Midseason Invitational will resume tomorrow with the Rumble stage. That'll be running over the next 5 days. So that'll be running, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yep.
Same as the prior stage. There will be 6 games each day with potential tiebreakers, of course, on day 5. Tomorrow we are leading off with maybe a potential finals preview.
Yeah.
As Damwon Gaming takes on RNG.
Listen, Damwon Kia versus RNG is the main event. This is what everybody cares about. The scheduling people know what they're talking about. They say, listen, if you want to watch the shit, watch the first match. Okay?
Yeah. So that's going to kick off. I believe that is 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Eastern?
Yes, 9 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow.
Yep.
Also, Mad Lions will take on Pentanet. PSG Talon takes on Damwon. Then we have our first match today. Royal Never Give Up takes on Cloud9.
Ooh, that's today?
That's tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that will be at noon Eastern
That's
time.
That's still going to be a good match.
Now, let
think?
Me tell you something. This is the true test here. All right, mm-hmm. Cloud9 ended the group stage on a high, one out, beat everybody mm-hmm. else in the group. Now, if they truly want to consider themselves amongst the elite, here's your big test.
Well, it certainly would give you that, like, a win. Gives you huge cachet.
Yeah.
I've been saying it for a while now. We'll also play C9 versus Mad Lions as the closing match of tomorrow. If you want to be for real, you got to win one.
You got to win one of those.
I will forgive you losing to RNG. They're probably the second best team in the world, if not the best
They're
team
probably,
in the world.
Based on the performances we've seen, and again, I understand you brought it up about strength mm-hmm. of schedule. I understand that. But you're supposed to, you can only beat who's put in front of you.
Right.
And
they did what they were supposed to
and
do.
And they did
won
what
eight times.
To do. Yep.
So. That said, you want to be for real? Win one.
Yep.
Don't go 0-2 on your opening day.
Yeah.
And then over the weekend, of course, all these teams are going to play. You'll play each team twice. And best 4 records will advance. You got to be better than PSG Talon, and you got to be better than
Pentanet. That's it.
That's it. That's all
it.
I got to do.
That said, man, if Pentanet made it out of the Rumble stage, would that not be one of the best stories
Yo,
ever?
Like if somebody crashes and, like if Matt Lyons crashes
just
and burns.
Flames out and Pentanet makes it to the
Pentanet into the knockouts?
That'd be wild.
Yo, that would be absolutely insanity. You know what? That's the anime storyline that I kind of wanted. That's the anime storyline I want. I want I want Dan Juan, Royal Never Give Up, Cloud Nine, and Pentanet.
Obviously, tomorrow is our FanFest special, so we won't be talking about it, but we will update on Monday with where the standings are at. Alrighty, PlayStation 5 news. Sony boss Jim Ryan was talking a little bit today about different the state of the union, basically, for the PlayStation 5. And two interesting bits came out. One was about the production issues surrounding the PlayStation 5 and the lack thereof in supply. He said that it is his fondest hope that we'll start seeing production ramping up over the summer and start reaching some level of normalcy of a balance between supply and demand in the fall. I think, personally, to me, that's a lot of hopeful,
that's
wishful
ambitious.
Thinking.
Yeah.
Because the chip shortage is supposed to be lasting well into next year, so I don't know what deal you guys have worked out where you're going to be able to get access to these. I hope it's true, because I still want one of these damn systems. But I would be surprised to find out that
it's you know, and like you said, it's one of those situations where I don't necessarily know how they're going to get more supply into the hands of people. But at the same time, you could also say, you know what, at this point, the people who are going to be the most voracious for it already have one.
Maybe.
But at the same time, they're already on track to beat the launch of the PS4. Yep. They're already on track to beat the second year of lifespan for the PS4.
Yep.
And so the demand for this machine is something I've never seen before.
No, it's insane.
Not for a console. I've never seen this. And obviously, the supply chain issues have only increased demand and increased the competition for it. But and we'll get into this a little bit later on. I'm going to be honest. The retailers have not made it any easier.
Nope.
And I think that only contributes to the issue.
And it's crazy, too, because last time around, PlayStation 4 had the benefit of kind of ruling the gen. Xbox Series X is doing great.
Yeah.
Like, they are putting out great numbers, too, and they're having the same supply issues. So it's kind of interesting to see both of these consoles kind of carry it forward.
You know what? I will say on that, I think there are a lot of people with, you know, the disposable income because, shit, you was in the house. You weren't out going to the bar, going to the club, you know, doing this, traveling. You know how many people didn't go on vacation and took that $1,200, however much your vacation usually costs, and just bought an Xbox?
Yeah, you're right. Fair enough. The other bit of news we got from Jim Ryan was to say that there are currently over 25 PlayStation 5 games in development at Sony, over half of which are new IPs.
Now, these are first-party developments, or
at least studios that Sony owns. I'm assuming he's not talking about third-party developers.
Right.
I don't think that would be his place to talk about.
Right. No, I think that's very, very... I think that's promising, and here's why. Because we know what Xbox is doing. We talk about it all the time here, and I've always consistently wondered, you know, what is Sony going to do to answer back? Because they had a strong 2020 on the PS4, a real strong 2020. And I think if you come out and say, listen, we know God of War is on the horizon, God of War Ragnarok, we know a couple other games on the horizon, but I'll say this, man, if they get along with Sucker Punch and could drop that next Ghost of Tsushima in the next couple years, man, that's gonna be fire, because that game quickly shot up to my top five on the console ever. It was that good.
It really was one of those ones. And I'll say this, Ghost of Tsushima was primed to be a big letdown.
Yep.
Like, it was a game that we'd heard about for just on the edge of too long. And it's like, this game needs to hurry up and be out if you want, like, me to care anymore. And no, it lived up. It was actually really, really good.
And the single best part about it was that it was actually a couple hours longer than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I expect a 40-hour game. That game was 70 hours.
Yeah.
I got 82 hours in my Ghost of Tsushima.
Beautiful. Castlevania Season 4 is out today, which means I know what I'm binging when I hear
that. Have you seen anything yet?
No, I haven't watched any of it. I'm staying away from spoilers. I am ready.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready. I'm binging it. I want to see vampire orgies.
Yep.
I want to see blood. I want to see monsters killing civilians. I want to see Dracula burning up churches. All of the stuff that makes Castlevania great, I need to see here.
I mean, that's,
we gonna have
that's
it.
Just the Castlevania tagline right there. So I don't. I mean,
vampire
much.
Orgies, burnt up churches.
That's it.
That's it.
I'm super geeked after the ending of last season, where everything was just on such a down note. Everyone was miserable. Nothing went right for everybody, and it's just like, I'm ready to see like how this is going to now surface to bring it to the end of the narrative, because we know this is the final season.
Yeah.
You know what? Here's how it ends. They fight Dracula. They beat Dracula. Isaac shows up and they go, oh shit, I thought Dracula was the end. And Isaac says, nope.
No, I'm the end.
I'm the end. They kill him. Hector kills him. The Night Sisters show up. They think that they've won the day. And then here come the Belmonts. I'm calling him Cypher the Belmonts.
Yeah.
Because they're a couple now. The Belmonts show up and fuck shit up. Trevor gets beat up real bad. He dies, but we find out Cypher's preggers.
Oh, damn. Okay. That's how, let's see, Trevor's kid would be what? Simon?
Simon. Yeah.
And there we go, Castlevania 2.
I like the fact that Netflix had or at least the people who made Castlevania, they had we know when this is going to end. It's only going to be 4 seasons.
Yeah, we know the story we want to tell.
We know what the story it is. And BBC does this a lot, and they do it really well. And I kind of want more American-style things to happen that way.
Oh, the short run, the limited series?
Well, the problem that Netflix has is that they typically have a 3 to 4 season run of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a profit thing for them. It's like, you know, even if there isn't a clear ending, most likely it's, unless it's like Stranger Things or something that's
you
want
to
like
stop it before
culture,
it caps and starts to plummet.
Yeah, they need to stop it before it goes down, and then they need to bring in new IPs and blah blah blah.
I'm telling you, I think Stranger Things needs to take like 2 more years off and then reunite with the kids after everybody's like grown.
I mean, that's pretty much what's happening.
Yeah.
I don't know
where they're going with the story right now, because obviously if anyone's up on Stranger Things, they know that
what's the name is in Russia.
Hooper is in the other world. I forgot what it's called.
He's in a gulag.
Down. He's in the Upside Down.
No, he's in a gulag in Russia. Remember? They found him in a Russian gulag. Oh.
Yeah, that's how the series ends. Unless that's what the Upside Down looks like over there.
Unless the Upside Down just looks like a gulag.
I forgot about that. But yeah, he's... Well, what about Hooper? We have to figure out what's going on
with
Hooper.
Yeah, we do have to figure out what's going on.
There's a lot
dude.
Going on with... I don't know.
He's busy becoming the one character in Black Widow.
No, in this... Yes, he got deprogrammed, and that's the tie-in.
That's right.
But legit, I guarantee you is that we rejoin all the kids, and what happens, how they go find Hooper, is the Berlin Wall falls, and the Iron Curtain is gone, and people can go to Russia now.
Yeah.
It's the 90s. And now Stranger Things is no longer set in the 80s. It's 1993.
We'll see.
There you go.
It would make sense to put a couple of years in there.
Yeah.
But back to Castlevania.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's fine. Castlevania, final season, Dracula expected to make an appearance, at least in some way, but probably as the main villain, I would assume.
I don't know. I just like I like Dracula as a MacGuffin. I like Dracula as
a... moves the story forward.
Yeah, I like Dracula as an omnipresent threat that never fully gets realized just because he's Dracula.
I think we will see him as the final villain of the season, because remember, like, when he went down at the end of season 2, I guess it would have been, it was almost unceremoniously, right? Like, he is incredibly depressed, and he's miserable and down, and he's kind of just watching the world that he's got burned down around him and just doesn't really care. I want to see him like come back now and be like, hey, I was in the afterlife with my wife and you ruined that too. No, you're all going to die now.
Nah, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cool with really powerful people getting very unceremonious ends.
Yeah.
I actually really like that, because not everybody's death is
like
glorious.
Thanos was like that.
Yeah. Not so much, but not everybody's death is glorious. Most people die in very fucked up ways,
and a lot of the most evil people die in very almost subtle
ho-hum ways.
Hitler died in a ditch.
Yep.
The bullet in his head.
Yep.
That was it.
It wasn't like this grandstand.
No.
It's like we got there and he blew his brains up.
Pretty much.
It was what it was. Anyway, that's
a way to end the segment.
Yeah. Well, you know what? For Castlevania and Japanese developers' penchant for throwing Hitler in their games.
Yeah.
Kind of not that far-fetched.
Actually, not as weird as you would think.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? You're right.
So that's going to be it for part one. In part two, Tarjay has made a very big decision about trading card games. If you haven't heard about this and you're a Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh fan, you need to perk your ears up, because this is a big deal, guys. We're going to have more on that story coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howe, here alongside Chad Callahan and Callie Scales. You know, I tell you guys to go to the website, and I'm going to tell you again. Go to the website. So, you know, because we put a lot of work into the website. Chad works very hard on making sure everything goes the way it's supposed to go. And also, if you haven't seen, the summer internship applications are open. Uh-huh. They are open. So if you are a listener and you always wanted to work in the esports media industry, this is your chance to get your foot in the door. Make sure you go to our website, checkpointxp.com. Click on the clickies. You'll see it. It'll say Checkpoint XP internships.
I believe it's just checkpointxp.com/internships.
Yeah, /internships. If you want the direct URL, go ahead and check it out, and then we will have all the information for you there. Now, Target, a place that I love. Uh-huh. It is a great place. It might as well be Wonderland for my fiance.
Yeah, they do have everything, don't they?
It's one of, which is funny because they do and they don't. Yeah. It's like Target is...
But that's why it's great.
It's like they're selective, and I appreciate that because... although sometimes I get irritated by it because I'm like, I'll go to Target and get this, and
you
then
know
they
what?
Don't have
Did
it.
Did you notice? If you go to Target, you can't get Kraft cheese.
Really?
You know what? No, because they have... Well, here's the thing about Target. I used to work there, funny enough. I worked there for 5 years, and the thing that Target really pushes is they push their I guess I'm going to call it associated brands because it's not like Target brands. Like the Archer Farms and Market Pantry, that's their bread and butter. Yep. Like they have these like other brands, which is what they push. And majority of the time, they're like high quality.
They're really good.
Good food. Yeah, so it's not like the Walmart Great Value kind of
like
stuff.
Spartan brand or
no?
Yeah, no, it's like what is it? Archer Farms and Market Pantry.
Well, they have Good and Gather now, which
good
is
and Gather,
their brand.
Which yeah, they're all kind of like this Target brands, but they're brands that they. It's more of like. Microsoft owning all these.
We get it.
Companies.
Chad really loves Target.
Chad's a big fan.
I just used to work there, so I know the inside.
But they've made a huge decision based around card games. Now, you all know out there, I hate card games.
You do.
I think they're the dumbest thing on the face of the planet that people spend copious amounts of money on.
That's why it surprised me when you said you wanted to do this for the discussion.
Because I need to talk my shit.
That's fair.
Because you know what? You asshats who are fighting little kids over cards have ruined it for everyone. And now Target, alongside Walmart, we hear now, are removing Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, MLB, NFL, NBA cards all from their stores. You can't buy them in store anymore because literally grown people have been fighting children over little pieces of cardboard.
Well, there have been reports of fights related to trading card games in Wisconsin Target parking lot. Guns have been drawn. $20,000 worth of sports trading cards have been stolen. So just since all this, and there's actually a sign that Target puts out now, and it says. To ensure the safety of our guests and team members, effective May 14th, MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards will no longer be sold in stores until further notice.
So people are pistol whipping each other for trading cards. Explain to me why this is a thing.
I don't know. What are you kidding me?
You know. Because the card openings we were just talking about not too long ago.
Listen, I used to work in a game store. Mm-hmm. Like I spent 5 years while Chad was working at Target. I was working in a hobby shop. And that hobby shop had a large play space in it. So we had people come in and play Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon all the time. And yeah, there were way too many times where someone would be like back there and they would call judge. And it's like, we're not in a tournament right now. We don't have a judge here, you psychopath. And they would be like at each other's throats over a ruling in a game. And it's like, dude, get a grip.
But this isn't even about the game.
No.
This is not even from people who are trying to get these cards to play competitively. This is not what this is about. This is about the implied value of these card packs. And this is what I was saying the other day about why I think this is so ridiculous. Is because, first of all, it's loot boxes, number one. Number two, is that this is a... Let's be honest, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say something very straightforward. All it is extending from children's games.
Yeah.
Just like sports, multi-billion dollar industry, all of them are children's games. Ow.
You all right?
I hurt myself.
Norris is attacking himself.
I'm so mad.
You smack yourself in the face.
I got caught up in the chorus because I was so passionate. But the point is that people are starting to take this shit so seriously that weapons are being drawn in Target parking lots. Let me tell you something. There is nothing in a Target, nothing that they hold in that building is worth pulling a gun on somebody.
That's correct. Can I pose an alternate theory, too, as to why this is happening?
Okay.
From my time working in the game store.
Okay.
What would you guess is the most stolen product we had?
Did you have games and stuff?
We have board games, games.
Give us a rundown what you had.
Board games, video games, comics, role-playing games, tabletop. We had a little of everything. Okay. Puzzles.
The number one thing that was stolen?
Mm-hmm. Did you have figurines?
We did. We had figurines.
I'll say the figurines.
I'm trying to think of something to use. Cards. It's the easiest thing you could slide, put in your
pocket. Actually, yeah, you could pocket some cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Yu-Gi-Oh cards
followed closely by Pokemon. It was almost identical.
Which is interesting.
Those got stolen more than anything else in that building, including Magic, which was a more popular game.
Yeah.
Those got stolen way more frequently. I'll never forget this because on Thursdays, I would have to open by myself. I always did the opening shift alone on Thursdays. And my boss comes in one day in the afternoon, and there's some product missing. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget what my boss said to me. He said to me, Callie. He used my dead name, but obviously I'm not going to say it on here. He said to me, Callie, I've never needed a Friday as bad as I need one right now.
Yes!
Now, he meant it in a different context, of course, in that it was we were pissed off. But no, they stole cards from us constantly. Especially, and I'm willing to bet that theft translates to Target. Now, of course, Target doesn't want to come out and say
no.
People are stealing from us because that then implies that you can steal from Target.
Yeah.
But they decided we can call it this and get rid of it.
There's a couple reasons, but the interesting thing about it is that Magic's not on this list. And funny enough, in all the pictures, these signs are right next to the Magic card. So Wizards of the Coast is getting some great press right now by proxy.
No, and listen.
Like, we're still here, bro. Still here.
Well, not just that, but I also think Magic fans tend to skew a little bit older. It's an older game.
And
it's a game that people actually play.
I was going to say, that's the difference.
Yeah, people actually play Magic. It's not Pokemon where
you're getting these cards to play it. You're not getting it to open the packs on stream for the
card. Right.
And you know what? I never thought I'd say this, but this may be something where streaming has made this just significantly worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's made it significantly worse because this, you know, okay, you open your packs at home. Oh, my gosh. You probably call up your buddy. Holy shit, I pulled this holographic whatever, and how cool is that? And they're like, oh, man, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you. Now there's a whole sub-community of trading card games. It's just about cracking packs on stream and hoping you pull a rare card. And then what? What's supposed to happen after that? Now I know who to rob. Is that it?
Yeah, like
that's the thing. And so for me, you know, again, maybe that's just growing up in the hood. And that, you know, you don't broadcast what your own wealth.
No.
You don't broadcast it. And that's what I think. If you go in and somebody has bought $150 worth of Pokemon card packs, yes, I'm going to rob them.
We literally had a funny story about that. We had a guy. We were doing a draft tournament for Magic. For those who don't know, draft basically means everyone gets 3 booster packs. Everyone sits in a circle. You open a pack, pick a card. Pass the pack to the player to your left. They pick a card. You take the pack from the player to your right. You pick a card out of that one. And you keep going until all 3 packs have been drafted. And you build a deck that way. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
It's very fun.
It is very fun. It's a great way to play. Especially if you can't afford. Like, now your entry fee is $15 to buy 3 packs.
Right.
Nice.
So we had someone go back there. And we were doing a more expensive set. So I think the entry fee was $40 because the packs were $12 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was expensive because there was really good cards in it and some really valuable stuff in it too. This guy goes back and opens his first pack and looks inside. And he has a Tarmogoyf in that pack, which at the time was worth $350 on Star City Games. Whoa. And I mean, you could go to Star City and say, Tara McGoyf, here it is. Picture of front and back. They will send you an envelope. You send it to them. They will send you $350 for it. It was worth that. So he looks through. He's like, okay, cool. I'm picking the Tara McGoyf because you get to keep your deck at the end. I'm not passing it. Even if I'm not going to play it, I don't care. I'm picking it.
Yeah.
He gets to the very back of the pack, and it has a foil Tara McGoyf in it, too, which was $550.
Woo!
He literally took them both, set the packs down, and walked out of the building. And everyone was just left confused as all hell because he just left.
No.
How'd you find out?
So one of his friends came in like a week later, and I was like, hey, yo, what happened to Jack? Why did he just leave that one day? Did, like, he have an emergency? Like, no, he pulled a Tara McGoyf and a foil Tara McGoyf, and he wasn't risking
so
sticking around.
He came up damn near a G.
You know what?
Good for him. Up $1,000. Yeah.
Good for him. You know what? I'm not even mad.
But listen.
No, no one was mad. Well, I mean, I'll tell you who was mad. It was the person sitting next to him who should have gotten and pulled the other Tara McGoyf out. But
but no, but the thing with me that I still don't understand. It's like, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. Yes, these cards are valuable. That's cool. That's fine. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm at a point in my life where $1,000 is not worth violence against another human.
No. I mean, and frankly, we should all be at that point in our lives all the time.
Yeah.
That said, we also look around this country and we see violence done for a lot less than $1,000.
Well, but the point of the matter is that I just feel sad because there are going to be kids where that is the only place they can go get cards.
Yeah, listen, and maybe hobby shops aren't as common as they once were.
They're not what they are. And so you're going to have kids who, they got to go online, but maybe they live in a more rural community where simply getting mail is more difficult. Mm-hmm. Going and, going to find a hobby shop is more difficult. And so your big box store might be all you have in the area. And, I do feel for those people and those kids, but at the same time, good on Target, because fuck card games.
Listen, man.
Blanket statement of the day.
It was a very very roundabout way of getting to that point. But yes, I feel for retailers right now who have had a rough couple years.
You know what?
But I think in a lot of ways they haven't done themselves any favors, but neither has the state of the world.
No, but this one... This was the right call to make, because not just from a loss prevention point of view, but a damn, just a safe. Because, dude, imagine the headlines if, fight over Pokemon cards in the parking lot causes somebody to get, a random bystander shot.
We're lucky that it only got to guns drawn. That was right.
Hey, listen, but you know one of the number one rules of the hood, don't pull that motherfucker unless you're ready to use it.
Exactly.
And so it's only a matter of time if they would have left this out for somebody to pull a gun on somebody and somebody get seriously hurt or killed.
Yeah. And now, if you're Wizards, any of those stores that is in a small town without a major hobby shop in it, you are amplifying your messaging for Magic in that
city. You have you have a monopoly on Target Magic.
Yeah, you're literally the only things there, and good for you. You know, we need more Magic players.
Yeah, because you know what? You've created a community over a number of years that doesn't fight and shoot each other over your cards.
I'm sure that's happened, but often.
Realize that we are only 2 years away from Magic being 30 years old?
Wow.
And you know what? And I'm totally okay with that. If there was a card game I would inject myself into, it would be Magic, simply because it's got all the established stuff, and because you play Magic, Chad. Uh-huh. Callie, you play Magic. I know a few people who play Magic, and guess what? These are all well-adjusted, grown people.
Not
so okay,
much. You can go play Arena. Oh yeah, you don't even have to talk to the people you play. Are you kidding me?
I don't even have to go to Target to buy my cards anymore. I can just go and get them for free on
Arena.
See,
that's cool. You know, I might play Runeterra or something like that. But you know what? Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, the rest of them, I'm not touching
it. Because I'm not playing them anyways.
But not even that I'm not playing it, but it's just so much toxicity around it at this point that, you know what, the juice is not worth the squeeze. But anyway, that's going to be it for Checkpoint Daily. We'll be back tomorrow with our Fan Fest, Final Fantasy XIV Fan Fest special, and then we'll be back Monday with our regularly scheduled programming. For Chad Callahan and Callie Scales, I am Norris Howard. And we'll see y'all tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.